evening, members. We're going to call the Tax Committee to order. We're running a little bit late here, but we're going to tackle Representative Broad, who just walked in. I guess she was going to the Capitol. We've turned her around, and we're going to have her do her bills. And then, members, we're going to hear Representative Earhart's bill, and then we're going to do the transportation omnibus bill. So with that, Representative Broad, we know all members are very busy and are trying to be in two places at once, so we know it's difficult. We don't have a forum yet, Representative Broad, but we'll just go ahead and hear them, and then when we get there, even if you have to go on to the Capitol, we'll actually move them and lay them over. So Representative Broad had both an AMT bill, which we talked about last committee, and she has an estate tax bill as well. So Representative Broad, which would you like to take first?
Madam Chair, why don't we just do the AMT bill, and I won't take up much of your time because you did have discussion really about both of them, only these just take it a little bit one step beyond.
And we'll give you a second there. I know you're trying to find your stuff. Members, this is House File 2076. Apologize for that. And this is the repeal of the alternative minimum tax. And I think we have a short subject in your packets, members, as well, on the AMT.
Well, Madam Chair, members, maybe what I ought to do is just... I know the committee has talked a lot about the AMT over the past few years, and I know that you did hear a bill yesterday, I believe, and I wasn't able to be at the committee. I was in Health Committee. But there's been a lot of discussion over AMT and the problems, I think, with the alternative minimum tax. And, Madam Chair, in my mind, as we came forward and talked this year about, what is the right tax system? What is the best type of tax structure? What is the best type of tax system? One of the things that kept coming out is simplicity. And AMT is certainly not that. And so this, Madam Chair, is my attempt at trying to simplify our tax system. While I would like to simplify the entire structure and reform that, which I'm still hopeful we can do in some way, this is just one more approach.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, maybe what I ought to tell you is a little bit more about the bill. This is essentially, rather than nibbling around the edges, this is a full AMT repeal. We've done a lot of things over the number of years that have pulled down the number of people who are affected by the AMT. And currently, my understanding is that we still have about 7,900 people that are being hit for a variety of reasons. One might be mortgage interest. One might be, I call this the Emmer Gottwalt bill because if you have a large family, you might get hit by the AMT, gambling losses, things along those lines. So that's the type of people that would be impacted by this bill.
Thank you for that, Representative Broad. That's a good name for it. Are there questions from members for Representative Broad on her AMT bill? I do see Mr. Fragnito shaking his head. I'm sure he's supporting the bill. Thumbs up, Representative Broad.
For him, but I think that I can fairly say he's in strong support of the bill.
Yes. Yes, members, and we do want that on the record. Mr. Fragnito, the representative of the Minnesota Society of CPAs, testified on the other bills, and the society supports Representative Broad's bill as well. Representative Broad has been a strong advocate on dealing with the AMT issues for a number of years, and so we appreciate her getting this in here tonight. And if there are no other questions, I'm going to go ahead. Well, I can't lay it over because we haven't moved it yet, Representative Broad, so we'll hold on that. But if you are ready then, we will take a look at House File 187, which is the estate tax bill that Representative Broad has, and we will move that when we've got a quorum. And we can send you over that information to Representative Broad if you don't have it in front of you. Do you have your...
Yes, Madam
Chair. Okay. Thank you, Representative Broad.
I think I'm good to go. Madam Chair, this is going back to some of the discussion we had early in regards to federal conformity. We conformed in some ways, and I just think that we should take the next step. And the death tax is a tax that has a lot of emotion surrounding it, and it has a lot of, I think, mystique surrounding it, and a lot of misunderstanding in regards to its purpose and actually its result. Sometimes people consider this a tax of the rich, a tax of the wealthy, but in reality, those folks are already having people help them with estate planning and other mechanisms to find legal ways of avoiding, legal ways of avoiding a certain taxation. So what happens is that you end up with a tax that hits, in my view, small business owners and farmers and other folks in a different way. So I think that the intention of the death tax is wrong. I think that it hits the folks that people aren't intending to hit. I have some information from the National Black Chamber of Commerce in regards to minority-owned businesses and the impact of the death tax on those minority-owned businesses. Same thing with the Women's Chamber of Commerce in terms of those are the businesses that are undercapitalized in the first place, and this type of tax hits them hardest.
Thank you for that, Representative Broad. Are there questions from committee members on Representative Broad's bill? Is there anyone from the public who would like to testify either for or against? And I think Representative Broad, in fairness, I mean, again, we can't put words in people's mouths, but the National Federation of Independent Business was here testifying on other members' similar bills. And I can't speak for them for sure, but my guess is they're supportive of this legislation as well. And I think Representative Broad has long been an advocate for this as well, that we know by looking at the revenue that the price tag is kind of big, and so we know that some other attempts have been brought forward in bills to do some scaling, and I know you're supportive of those as well, but I think it is important for members to see that this is a conformity piece that the tax committee over the last number of years has chosen not to conform to, and that when we say we're conforming, we don't really conform on everything, and this is one thing we do not. Questions for Representative Broad?
Madam Chair, yes. I also would just note that actually this bill is the moderate approach. I'm not suggesting we repeal it. What I'm suggesting is that we conform. And I think what's important to note is that there will be obviously a short-term revenue loss associated with that, that I think the revenue note is showing. But if you look at it, it's a small price to pay for eliminating a tax that, in my view, has destructive effects on the economy and on small businesses and on job creation. And that's really why I'm bringing this forward.
Thank you. Questions from members? If not, Representative Broad, we'll let you go off to, you have another hearing, I know, over at the Capitol.
Well, Madam Chair, I think I'm very interested in the one that's going to be happening in this committee.
Thank you. Okay, great. We will move Representative Broad's bills when we can, unless we are at a quorum yet. I don't think so. And we are looking now for Representative Earhart, who was in the room and has disappeared. There he is. Representative Earhart is going to come right to the table. And he, when we can, we will do House Bill 107. And this, members, is another piece of the AMT, and that is dealing with the issue of deducting gambling losses. Representative Earhart, we don't have a quorum yet, but we're going to take your bill, and we appreciate that you waited last night to do it, or yesterday, to do it now. So, Representative Earhart, House Bill 107.
I've forgotten all about this bill since last night. I looked at it last night, and so I'm going to rely a lot on Mr. Michaels. But basically, we have a situation where an individual on the federal taxes can offset their winnings and losses, so they have a net amount, if I understand that correctly. And while door knocking, I discovered that that wasn't the case here. I had some high rollers telling me that they were getting killed by the AMT and other things because they couldn't offset in Minnesota. So I said, well, we ought to have the ever-present tax committee look at this issue. And I'm going to ask Mr. Michaels to explain the details, if that would be all right.
Yes, thank you, Representative Earhart. Mr. Michael, would you like to get us into the details of the gambling losses?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think Representative Earhart did a relatively good job of explaining the situation. Under the regular tax and under the federal regular tax, gambling losses are deductible as miscellaneous itemized deduction to the extent that there is gambling income or winnings. The federal AMT does not treat that deduction as a preference. The Minnesota AMT does treat, it started out treating virtually all itemized deductions, including this miscellaneous itemized deductions that allows you to offset your gambling losses against the winnings as a preference. And as a result of that, you can have someone who has $1 million win and $900,000 of losses, and the Minnesota AMT essentially treats them as having only the winnings and not the losses. And that's why some people are simply, as a result of their gambling activities, are put into the AMT. And sort of the effects of this can be extreme. The Minnesota Supreme Court, in a recent decision, sort of bent over backwards to conclude that a taxpayer who was an elderly woman and had a fair amount of slot machine winnings that were offset by losses was really in the trader business of playing the slot machines, and so therefore those losses were deductible not as an itemized deduction as they normally would be, but as a business expense deduction, which is not a preference under the AMT. But in essence, that's sort of the description of what's involved with Representative Earhart's bill, which would go to the federal treatment of these gambling losses.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I note on the physical note, the number of taxpayers, the last line, if you have that, the proposal will reduce AMT by an estimated average of $2,300 on 600 returns, including 550 returns which would no longer be subject to the Minnesota AMT. So that makes quite a difference with the number that we're talking about here, even at that small amount of average return, I would say. It's an example of AMT killing people here.
Thank you. Other questions for Representative Earhart, Representative Lanning?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Michael, how can they, I know that gaming organizations are required to keep a record if somebody wins a significant amount, I think it's more than $100 for charitable gaming or casinos or whatever, but how do they keep, how can they verify losses?
Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, Representative Lanning, you're right. There are federal withholding rules, which is how most of these taxpayers end up being caught in this trap, because that income is reported to the IRS and to the Department of Revenue. The way they can the way the taxpayer can essentially document or validate their losses is by maintaining records. This Minnesota Supreme Court case that I referred to, this woman, aside from being a compulsive slot machine player, was also a compulsive record keeper, and so she had tremendous journals of, you know, essentially when she had gambled, how much she had gambled, how much she had won, and how much she had lost. And there are some other taxpayers that, you know, are meticulous in that way, and so can document to the Internal Revenue Service and the DOR that they really do have these, that they really do have these losses to offset. It's not a matter that you can at the racetrack go around and pick up losing tickets off the floor and sort of claim that.
Thank you.
Thank you. You learn something every day, don't you?
Sure do. Representative Wolfswager.
Well, actually, Representative Lanning stole my question, but Representative Earhart, have you ever met a gambler who admitted to losing? Huh?
Last summer.
Oh, well.
Representative Earhart, was that you we were talking about there last summer?
No.
Okay, we do have a quorum. So are there other questions for Representative Earhart, or is there anyone from the public who would like to testify either for or against? And I'm just going to look at the Minnesota Society of CPAs representative there, Mr. Fragnito, and assume he's supportive of this piece of the AMT reform as well. And we've got the nod there. I don't know if we can get nods into the minutes, but we do want members to know that the Minnesota Society of CPAs is supporting all of these bills we've been looking at, and we thank you for that. Representative Earhart then moves House File 107, And I will lay that over for possible inclusion in the amount of this tax bill. Thank you, Representative Earhart. Representative Braun moves House File 2076. And I will lay that over for possible inclusion in the amount of this tax bill. Representative Braun moves House File 187. I'll lay that over for possible inclusion in the amount of this tax bill. Representative Coonan moves Representative Bond's bill that we had the hearing on. That's House File 1927. And we told members we would move their bills when we got them in our possession. We have that, so I'm going to lay over House File 1927. And Representative Wolschlager moves a bill that she had us here as well before we had possession, and that was House File 551. And I'll lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. So thank you for that. We are now going to call a recess, members, and Representative Simpson has an announcement as well. And I'd like to announce that DFL members will meet in room 300 North until 6:45. Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Republican members, we will be meeting in room 300 South.
Thank you. We are in recess. Thank you, members. We are back, and we want to hear from Representative Leader. We are back, and who would like to move Representative Leader's bill? I don't believe I have the number. Representative Carlson would like to move House File 946, the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill. Representative Leader, welcome to the committee.
I was going
to
do it, but
thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, I don't know much detail, or I don't have to give you a vague spiel about the need for transportation monies. If you want it, I can give it to you. But I would assume that we'll hit the items of interest to the Tax Committee. If that's okay, Madam Chair?
That would be great, Representative Leader.
Basically, what the bill would do, it proposes to raise the gasoline tax 5 cents this year and 5 cents next year. It also provides for a change in the motor vehicle license fees. As you remember, Governor Ventura changed it. It had a maximum of 99 and 189. We took the caps off of that and changed the depreciation schedule. And also, so basically the bottom line is the same, but it affects the upper bracket on the motor vehicle license. What it also does, it doesn't, anyone that's, right now it doesn't increase a license for anyone that has an existing license, but it'll affect all new purchases from that date on. The revenue generated in the first year is not that much, and Madam Chair, the members do have in their packet, I believe, a breakdown of the monies that would be raised, so we won't get into that until later if there are questions. The other thing that happens with the bill, in our target, the target that the Transportation Committee had, we do not get the sales tax from licensed or from leased vehicles. That was not in our target. So that affected how we could deal with transit. The bill does provide for a optional county sales tax, and there's a difference between the seven county metro area. The sales tax is set up so that counties can participate after a joint powers agreement's got to be made. The joint powers agreement would determine from these seven counties that are in it how they were going to operate as far as the voting would go, or not the voting. The county boards in the seven counties would make the decision whether it's a sales tax. And that's up, it's a half-cent sales tax. It also provides that outside of the seven counties, the adjacent counties could opt in with the joint powers agreement initially when they come in. For the rural counties, it's a sales tax optional with a referendum. So there's a difference between the metro area and the rural area. And basically the sales tax, the metro area could be used for transportation, which would include highways or transit, and that's the same thing in the rural area. The county boards and the rural area would determine how it would use if it's an individual county, and in the metro area it's a joint powers agreement. One other thing that we've done in the bill is let's see, I better check. Forget here. we did, there's a wheelage tax in the books right now, in statute right now. The wheelage tax provides for a $5 wheelage tax, and for everyone, when you hear the wheelage tax, everyone thinks it's on per wheel. It's per vehicle. The wheelage tax is under the bill would provide that it could go up to $20. Now, this wheelage tax goes to the counties or the cities. It doesn't go into the trunk highway. It doesn't get into the highway distribution fund. That's a local, that would be local revenue. The other thing, and it doesn't apply to trucks, hearses, or emergency vehicles. There's a problem. It's not on trucks for the simple reason that it's an administrative nightmare, I guess, in the trucks, the way they're domiciled. And so it doesn't apply to any vehicle over 26,000 pounds. In the formula that when the gas tax and the license fees go into the highway user tax distribution fund, that formula is constitutionally dedicated right now, 62299. The new monies that would be obtained by raising the gas tax and the new motor vehicle license monies would be distributed by a different formula than based on the old formula. And the rationale for this is it's been at least 20 years that there's been an ongoing debate between the metro and rural counties how the money should be distributed. In the bill now, it provides that the monies under the existing formula, which is the formula that the county state aid monies are distributed, would remain the same for the existing 20-cent gasoline tax. For the new gas tax that's imposed, that money would be distributed by a different formula, which would be based on 60% on needs and 40% on population. That's statewide. And that was the agreement by the Association of Minnesota Counties. That's been contentious for 20 years. There's been efforts to change it. So that's actually what changed there. We also provide in the bill for $1 billion in trunk highway bonding. Now, someone is going to ask, well, how come $1 billion? The governor had $1.7 billion. The way it worked out in the targets that the Transportation Committee has, we do not have the target for the sales tax on leased vehicles. The governor had used money from the sales tax on leased vehicles, and he also used that portion of money that was dedicated to highways from the motor vehicle for the amendment that we passed last year. So the governor had taken money from both of those and bonded for $1.7 billion. We do not have that money in our targets, so we couldn't do that. We are only bonding for $1 billion, which is $100 million a year. I think I neglected to point out in the, it statutorily established the 60% and 40% split based on the constitutional amendment that was passed this last year. 60% for highways, 40% for transit. The 40% in the governor's budget was split 38% for metro and 2% for different amendments and many different proposals. We ended up saying 36.5% for metro and 3.5% for rural. Both sides are not too happy, but they're better shape than they were when they started out. So, Madam Chair, unless there are questions, I think I did hit everything. I don't believe I... the question was raised in the Finance Committee, what taxes didn't we look at? And, of course, there's certain taxes that we did, that we could have looked, we did look at or discussed. Indexing is not in this, in the bill right now. We discussed street utility fees. We discussed the mileage tax. There's also developmental fees. We didn't talk about tolls too much. We didn't talk about raising property taxes. We didn't talk about raising payroll taxes. And we didn't talk about raising health maintenance fees. And we saved $400 million in interest fees by not bonding, by doing the governor's bonding. And the other thing is, I think one thing that we always keep hearing about, we're raising taxes, but we don't consider the effect by raising taxes what we're saving. In the metro area, it's considered that the average commuter, it costs him $740 a year, what you call a congestion tax. So anytime you relieve congestion, you're actually saving taxpayers' money. I'd just like to make those comments, because that's what came up in the Finance Committee, and I thought I'd address them here. And Madam Chair, I believe that's the summary of the, unless you want to go article by article, and we can.
Thank you, Representative Leader, and we can do that if members want. I think we all have the summary in front of us, members, and we have the revenue raised by each piece. And if members want more detail, we can do that. I think at this time, though, the best way is to just take questions from committee members first. Are there questions? Representative Coles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leader, you chatted a little bit about the taxes that that aren't being raised in the bill. It probably comes as little surprise to most people here that I have a lot of concerns about all the taxes being raised in the bill. I certainly appreciate the need for funding and transportation and recognize the need for funding and transportation. My question, though, Representative Leader, is have we looked at any time recently? I put in a bill earlier this year, didn't get a hearing, and understand why, but have we looked at the use of general fund money to fund transportation projects, infrastructure projects, roads and bridges? I know there's a little bit of money that goes to transit, and there's some money that goes to fund some MnDOT's operations. But I think the voters spoke fairly clearly on November 7th that transportation is a priority. Yet, if I understand the way that our budget works and the funds flowing into transportation, we don't spend any general fund dollars on roads and bridges. Have you looked at that? Did the committee have discussions about that as an alternative to raising some of these taxes?
Representative Leader, general fund dollars for transportation. Your thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Coles, in past history, we've never really used general fund monies for basically transportation. In the target that we have, the only general fund monies we have deals with public safety. Public safety comes in the domain of the Transportation Committee. We actually had to cut some general fund monies there because we didn't have enough general fund monies for what was requested. So the general fund monies that are now used are used basically for bonding for township bridges or local roads, but we have not bonded with general fund monies or general obligation bonds for trunk highways. The question always comes when you construct or build buildings for trunk highways or some of those things. We've been using trunk highway funds, and the rationale for that is, and we have a letter in the file in our packet, if you would build or bond for general fund for highway buildings, indirectly the department and administration with their lease arrangement and schedules gets paid with trunk highway funds in the end. So you just as well, without obligating the general obligation limits, we use trunk highway. And that's basically all we've ever done in the area of using general funds has been pretty much strictly with what goes to local roads or bridges in that area.
Thank you, Representative Holt.
Madam Chair, thank you, Representative Leader. I understand that's what we've always done, and I guess what I'm challenging is why that's what we've always done, and why we don't think about looking at something else. I know we're talking about the transportation bill, not the bonding bill. I know that's going to be coming up one of these days, but the governor had in his bonding recommendation a zero cash target, and all of the governor's projects were spending cash on his projects. I'm wondering, I guess, why we're not spending some general fund cash on some of these transportation projects, these real needs that exist, not only in the metro area, but across the state of Minnesota. I think that I'm disappointed, I guess, that Representative Leader, that you weren't able to get a larger general fund target. I understand that everybody and their brother is up here trying to get a bigger piece of the pie. I would have, as I look at the state's priorities, I certainly see transportation as one, and I guess I'm disappointed that we haven't gotten to the point where we are paying some cash for some of these projects out of the general fund. It seems to me to be the only state priority, transportation, that we're not using some general fund dollars for.
Thank you. Representative Leader, did you
Thank
want to
you,
respond?
Madam. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Representative Coles, part of the problem is we still need, when we talk about transportation, if you consider transit and highways together right now, it's roughly a $2 billion shortage in needs. And how do you, general fund monies are basically taxes. We do have some general fund monies in the that we received from the Invest Amendment, those actually are basically, we do have some general fund money, but not that much coming in there. The other thing is, right now in committee, I think if we add them up, I know we've looked at it, and we've got probably $1 billion or more in projects. And the reason we don't have more than that, because I told the individuals, the representatives coming in with individual projects, we just don't fund them. We can't fund them. But I would like to say that I could, we'd like to fund all those things, but again, general fund monies generally come from a different type of tax. Rather, the good thing about funding highways is that we use a user tax. And I guess that's kind of the argument I would give. We'll sure take general fund monies if we could get them. We don't have them in our target.
Thank you, Representative Leader. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And maybe in response to Representative Cole's question about why not bring transportation dollars out of the general fund, you know, I know in the property tax division, one of the things we're trying to do is provide tax relief, one of the goals for senior citizens. And if you were to move it to the general fund, you'd be moving a lot of taxes onto senior citizens to pay for these roads who don't use them. And you'd move away from the user's kind of concept where through the license tab fee and the gas tax and the MVEST, that those who buy cars, use cars, drive cars, they're going to pay for our highways. And if you move to a general fund, not only do you shortchange other areas of the budget, but now you're pushing the expense of our roads and that away from users and to senior citizens who might not have driven for 10 years. And you know, I think Representative Earhart has made the point over and over again, and even before the property tax division, of how the lack of funding here is pushing more and more on the county and city property taxes. And you know, we've got the figures here, and Representative Earhart has indicated that. And I think we really need to be careful if we'd ever go into the general fund, because there you're really going to hit people who aren't using that, and you're going to, those who should be paying won't be paying, and so that's one of the problems there.
Madam Chair?
Just very briefly, Madam Chair, and somebody please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that we do fund a fair amount of transit out of the general fund right now. And so I think, Representative Marquardt, the argument could go the same way with transit. We're not funding transit with users. Now, I happen to think we ought to fund transit the way we are using some general fund money. And so I'm not sure why the argument doesn't carry forward to our roads and bridges across the state as well. So I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily disagree, and I understand the arguments around user fees and getting people who are driving on the roads to pay for the roads, but I think the argument could carry then we ought to get transit money out of the general fund as well, and I'm not advocating that, and I don't think you are either. I think it's something we ought to look at. It's a state priority, clearly. We fund all our other state priorities, at least in part, through the general fund, and I'm not sure why we're not doing it here.
Representative Rukavina.
I just want to know where Representative Cole's going to get money out of the general fund. There's no money to get out of the general fund.
Representative Cole.
Well, Representative Rukavina, I didn't have an opportunity to, other than a chance to chat with Chairman Solberg about targets and where I'd like to see money spent, I don't have an opportunity to set targets. I think there are plenty of places throughout the budget where, not just in transportation, whether it's grants we're making to this nonprofit or that nonprofit, all good programs, no doubt. But really, what are our priorities as a state? What are we going to fund? And that's the exercise that the Ways and Means Committee just went through in terms of trying to set targets. I happen to have a slightly different take on what the state priorities ought to be, Representative Rukavina, but I understand the process that we went through. I just would have liked to have seen the money put proportionally a little differently than it currently is. And I understand, you know, we're not in charge anymore. You guys, Representative Solberg, and, you know, he had a tough job to do, no doubt, and lots of people coming to him asking for much bigger targets.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Representative Cole, it has nothing to do with targets. There's no money at all in the general fund. There's no surplus. There's a one-time $1 billion, but there's no surplus. And I don't know, you know, whose grandma you want to throw out of a nursing home or who's, you know, to fill a pothole with general fund money, but there really isn't any money. I'm glad to see that Representative Leader is undoing the license tab fee. I think was part of the one-third, one-third, and one-third deal, Ms. Dalton, wasn't it, in 2000. But, you know, if we undid the 2001 tax bill, we'd have all kinds of money. We'd have $4 billion a year to play with.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, $35 billion is money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money up on the range. It's a lot of money in my area. So there's a lot of money in this budget. There are a lot of needs and wants and desires. And the issue that we have to struggle with every 2 years, Representative Rukavina, as you know, is what are we going to fund? What aren't we going to fund? What's a priority? What's not? Should we just put everything on autopilot? I'm not so sure that's the right thing to do, but, you know, and I think we're getting a little far afield of Representative Leader's bill, and I apologize, Madam Chair, for that, but, I mean, the reality is that Representative Leader doesn't have a general fund target other than some of the stuff that he mentioned.
Madam Chair, we're not an autopilot. We haven't had a pilot in this state for at least 8 years, going on 9 now. That's the problem.
Let me react a little bit to that, because it is a job to balance a budget and to try to spend priorities. And I think if we cut education, you'd probably be screaming there as well if we took money from education and put into highways. Or if we, and I looked at some of the tax bills that came in, I think they were, one of them was $345 million in the first year of a revenue loss. And I think if I asked the person who supported it, you know, how do you make it up? In fact, as Representative Rukavina asked, how do you make it up? He said, well, that's your job. And I don't think that is just our job. I think that's the public's job as well, to say this is a fair taxation system or this is not a fair taxation system. Now, I just asked the Department of Administration to give me the list of the contracts that they give out, the consulting contracts. I could cut that, and I could come $100 million out of that. $67 million of it goes to contracts for transportation. I wouldn't touch that. There's $330-some million in consulting contracts. And yet, when we've tried to do that in the past, it was, you can't touch that. I mean, that was, Bob Goodman tried that for 4 years to try to get into the, and see some cuts in that. And was resisted by probably your side of the political aisle, not you necessarily, but I'm just saying, sure, you can do some things, but the administration, this is a three-legged stool here. And one of the things that the administration is driving is some of those particular things. I mean, the governor 2 years ago found $4.5 million when we were in the tank, found $4.5 million for a study on that I don't think we ever implemented. But that's his prerogative to do that. So, I mean, we can say that we're going to fund things out of the general fund, and this is a priority. And we have it. The voters took $150 million out of it, the general fund for these rates under the MVEST. But you know, you have to balance the budget. That means that if you want this priority, I want to spend money in education, I want to spend money on grandma in the nursing home, I want to spend money on transportation, and I want to spend money on property tax relief, and then you come in with all kinds of money to not tax anybody, you know. I understand the roles we do here, but you have to be careful that you might get what you ask for.
To this point, Representative Earhart's waiting, or Representative Broad,
well,
to this point?
Just
sure.
To that point, in terms of how we can find some money, I was just doing a little research the other day, and back in 1962, at the Economic Club of New York, I'll give you the words of John F. Kennedy. It is increasingly clear that no matter what party is in power, an economy hampered by restrictive tax rates will never produce enough revenue to balance the budget, just as it will never produce enough jobs or enough profits. In short, it is a paradoxical truth that tax rates are too high and tax revenues are too low, and the soundest way to raise revenues in the long run is to cut tax rates now. So, Madam Chair, if we implemented my bill, which cut tax rates for the lowest two brackets, we might be able to find some additional dollars.
Thank you, Representative Broad. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I did hand out two pieces stuff that explains why we're looking for big money here, and they are have been seen by the Transportation Committee, but the rest of the folks don't get a chance to know why we come in here with $1 billion or so for our fundraising. And the big one with the big dot on it is, yeah, right here. That is MnDOT's effectively it's a 20-year plan. And the way they arrive at that is they have extensive studies going on all the time, long-term project planning in each of the eight districts. They identify projects out to 2030 and in the area of transportation partnerships. In each one of those districts, there are local government elected officials and district engineers that work out the needs for the district over the years to come. They put the projects together, and they're based on several things, the performance needs, the mobility, and the preservation and safety. And what they do then is end up with what you're looking at here. The needs are $38 billion over the next 23 years in this case, and they put into the equation the necessary funds that are going to come by from the present laws and what they expect from the federal government, and they find a funding gap of $24 billion. That's their 20-year plan. If you look at the smaller dot, that's the 10-year plan. So we're looking at $16.8 billion total, about $2.4 billion a year. This other one is about $1 billion a year. This is when somebody sat down on the back of their napkin and made this up. I was asked twice by members of my caucus today, why in the hell are you asking for so much money? And it's because they don't understand that the needs are here. Now, what are we going to do to make this group that are not in the Transformation Committee aware? Aware of what the needs are. Now, there's a million ways to reach this, but mostly we can't touch general fund money because of the constitutional provisions that govern how the highway user funds are used and what monies flow into those. And then on top of the fact that we haven't raised the gas tax in 18 years now, 19, so that our gas tax was started out 19 years ago with Wisconsin's at 20 cents a gallon, is still at 20 cents a gallon, except the purchasing price of it is now only 8 cents. Wisconsin has had a cost of living accelerator on their gas tax. It's now at 32 cents. To really ask for what we need here, to just stay even with what we were 19 years ago, we would have to raise ask for a 12 cents gas increase, and that would only put us even with it. And then, since we're not, because of the way the gas money tax and the money's going to Highway User Trust Fund, which is also a license that flow by Constitution, by the time it gets to the counties and the local units of government, it means that they're not getting any increases, and they are going to raise money to fix their roads. Remember, I sit in a city council meeting, and the people come up and start complaining at you face to face. You know that those people are going to react to it, that sit on those local units of government, and they're going to raise their property taxes. Property taxes in 1988, when this gas tax was squeezed off, was state-wise $3.7 billion, and spending on roads by counties and cities and towns was $510 million. Now it's $1 billion in 2004. Local property tax levy is now statewide in 2004. Last number is available, $5.6 billion. and the spending that the local units are raising for transportation uses are over $1 billion, slightly over $1 billion. Now, what does that mean? It means that people who are not using the roads are paying for them instead of the users. Right. It means that a little old lady who's sitting in her house trying to keep her property taxes down so she can continue to live there is contributing toward the contributing part of her property taxes for transportation funding. And here we are trying to keep our property taxes stable, trying to invent ways to keep our property taxes down, and yet we have an obvious one in front of us, the gas tax, which would flow that money back to the constitutionally dedicated highway user trust fund to the local units of government. And I just thought that because everybody sits around and says, oh my God, that's a big amount of money that you guys are asking for. Well, what was the responsibility of this transportation committee? Bernie said, look, Representative Leader, Bernie Leader, said, look, we've got to try and satisfy the needs that we are, that everybody is telling us that's in the transportation field, and that MnDOT comes in here and says, this is what we need. We've needed it for a number of years, but you guys haven't done anything. So we did something. Still, you notice that we are short of the $1 billion plus a year. We're not trying to break the bank. We're just trying to get some good down payment on what needs to be done here. So, if anybody's got any questions on those figures, I'd be happy to answer.
And members, Representative Lanning's waiting patiently. He's next. Other questions from members on Representative Earhart's from members on Representative Earhart's handout. Representative Colts.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't know if this is for Representative Earhart or Leader. I'm confused because 2 years ago I heard the number, and Representative Earhart just mentioned $1 billion plus in unmet needs. I think Representative Leader said $2 billion. I hear the $2 billion number now. A year ago it was $1 billion. Now it's maybe $1 billion plus. I don't know if Representative Earhart or Representative Leader can tell us what MnDOT has talked to them about or what others talked about in committee. But, I mean, what is the supposed unmet need?
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Representative Coles, Representative Earhart and I were talking about actually two different things. I said total transportation. That included transit. Representative Earhart talking about highways.
That's my hand goes out.
Thank you, Representative Earhart, for the clarification.
Well, I'm not sure. There are some total needs on the back of this, on the back of the one with the big dot on it. And when you go to the 10-year plan here, you'll see $2.4 billion a year. That's why I'm handing these out. Okay, and then the little interpretation on the bottom says approximately $2.4 billion a year. Now, you got to recognize that inflation is eating the whole world up, as well as the construction costs, which were going up at the rate of about 15% a year. China is gobbling up cement and steel for their construction projects, and it's just causing things to accelerate. So it's not easy to pin down things that are to absolutes where we got inflation galloping through this part of the construction industry.
Thank you. And Representative Lanning, thank you for your patience. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm not going to get on a soapbox here. I've got a few policy, tax policy questions here that I'd like to address. Representative Leader, I'm looking at Article 5. Section 1, Subdivision 5. And the way I'm reading this is that this subdivision refers
Representative to... Lanning, I need to interrupt. I apologize. Can you give us your page again there?
Page 29. Page 29.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Section 1, Subdivision 5, This it refers to section 297A992, which deals with local option sales taxes. And my first question is, this says that in any year during which this tax would be imposed, the percentage of total trunk highway fund expenditures attributable to projects in the metropolitan transportation area within the meaning of this section may not decrease more than 2 percentage points from the average of the previous 5 years. My question is, what happens if total trunk highway funds, for reasons of economy or changes in the economy or whatever, drop more than that? Who picks up, who pays the difference? How is this covered? Does it mean that trunk highway funds that normally would go to Greater Minnesota are going to be shifted to the metropolitan area to cover so that it's no more than a 2% decrease? Is that what this means?
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Representative Lanning, this was put into the bill basically because of the highway interest on the sales tax is a concern that all of a sudden everybody, you've got this old highway transit fight. Basically, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Is a concern that they spend it all for transit. This is optional. It says may not. It isn't mandatory. Normally what MnDOT does, this is a five-year average. You will see a fluctuation every year, and it depends on how you add their contracts. If you add their contracts, values what they let each year, or if you add up the expenditures. And that's part of the rationale between that. What's that? No, it says may not. It says may, and I'm informed that it's mandatory, and I'd like to check on that. Mr. Burke? It's a mandatory requirement, okay. In either case, the rationale for it is it because they were concerned that they would spend it all for transit, this would limit the amount that they would spend on transit, and so they could have a balance every year and be certain that they had some construction rather than spending it all for transit. That's kind of the simple answer. I don't know if that answers your question, Representative, or not.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the words that puzzle me here, it says total trunk highway fund expenditures. It doesn't just say transit. It says total trunk highway fund expenditures.
That's correct.
Representative Leader.
Madam Chair, that's correct. We're talking, they're concerned about the total highway funds that would be spent from the monies they would get. The sales tax in the metro areas for transportation, transit and highways both. There's a concern that they would elect to spend more for highways, and that was a concern that was there.
Representative Lanning.
Madam Chair, yes. if I might,
yes.
I don't have a problem with that this sales tax is imposed, that the metropolitan area sets some parameters on how much goes to roads and how much to transit. I think that's an issue for the metropolitan area to resolve. Well, what I'm concerned about here is the wording when it talks about total trunk highway fund expenditures. Does that mean that money that might otherwise go to Greater Minnesota, let's say, for trunk highway fund projects, might get redirected to the metropolitan area because it can't decrease more than 2 percentage points? And maybe it's a language problem here. Maybe that's not the intent of the bill, but. And related to this, I was looking also in on page 35, section 7, where it talks about Greater Minnesota transportation sales and use taxes. And I didn't see anything in there that protected Greater Minnesota projects the way that I see the metropolitan projects being protected in Article 5, Section 1. Those are my questions with regard to the...
Thank you, Representative Lanning. Representative Leader, Article 5... No, Representative Lanning, help me out here. Page 35, right. Section 7, line 35.26. Is that the beginning of where we're looking? And I think Representative Leader, I don't know if you heard that, Representative Lanning's looking for some comfort that there's equal protection here in the greater Minnesota funding component. Can you address that for Representative Lanning?
Thank you, Madam Chair. He had two questions I'd like to respond.
Yes.
A portion on Subdivision 5 and on Article 5.
Okay.
Again, I didn't make it known, but I do know that generally the concern about the metro-rural has always been so it's be close 50-50 between metro and rural, and that's a percentage. Actually, that varies. It can be 49-51, it varies 48-52 every year. So basically, this is based on past, if you look at the numbers we've had, because I've checked them before, it pretty much varies, and that's a concern to keep the metro-rural relatively close. As close as you can, because sometimes your contract values are higher. So this is a percentage. And again, I point out that roughly it's 50% metro, 50% rural, but that's not a hard number because it varies if you add up each year. I think if you look this last year, I don't know what it is, but it could be like 52% metro this year and 48 rural, and next year it could be reversed because that's the numbers do fluctuate within that, around that 50%. And that's been a concern with the legislature all the time to make certain that we don't get an imbalance between rural and metro. And that was on Article 5. Actually, dealing with the Minnesota transit, Representative Lanning, basically the county boards, that's pretty much all highways money. They can elect the use of transit, but pretty much the counties are concerned and they want that for highways when they have a local sales option. You won't see too many of them spending that much for transit.
Representative Lanning.
Well, very simply, my point here is that the way I read this language, there's not equal protection under the law here for funding in greater Minnesota as there is in the metropolitan area. And that's my question, and I guess I would look to the legal counsel here to help sort this out if there is an answer to that question. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Representative Lanning, before that, Representative Earhart, I think I'm listening to Ms. Dalton and Mr. Michael, and I don't know, they're thinking about what Representative Lanning is saying and Representative Leader, and I'm not sure. Ms. Dalton, do you have an answer, or is there some, I don't know if Representative Lanning is going to think through some work on this here going as we move through the evening here, but Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Michael and I were discussing this, and if the intent is, as Representative Leader says, to essentially try to hold, you know, it kind of at the 50-50 percent metro, non-metro, within, you know, like a 2 percentage point difference because of lumpiness in contracts, then you probably do need slightly different language. But we can work on that.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you. I would like to see that done. If we can't do it here tonight, I would hope that it would get done the next time.
And Representative Lanning, we have amendments and we have public testimony still, so there's probably time. So we'll let you decide what you want to do with that. Unless there's
Madam
another
Chair,
piece
like
on this, Representative Leader, yes.
If I could have, well, I believe he's going to check. That's fine.
Okay. We'll take Representative Earhart's question or comment at this
point. Well, Madam Chair, I was just going to say that there's no need for the protection for greater Minnesota at this juncture because there's nothing, it looks like there'll be nothing in the way of an increase of sales tax out there. There may be, they have the opportunity to, but until there really isn't a need for that. What is the concern here, or would be my concern if I was a Metro member, is that if in fact there is a 0.50 sales tax pass for transportation needs, and the powers that be decided that they were not going to fund the Metro area anymore, the Metro division of the because they now were funding themselves by the 0.50 half for roads and whatever, that there would be a protection there that from the normal flow of of base funding, they would continue to get their share. Am I making any sense, Madam Chair?
Representative Earhart, you're making perfect sense to me.
Thank you.
But I understand Representative Lanning's concern, and I wouldn't predict what the other 80 counties would do with a option for a local option sales tax. But when I had originally read this provision, I thought it did what Representative Earhart is saying, which is if a sales tax is imposed in the metro, it prevents a move at some later date to say, look, the metro is now paying another tax on top of the gas tax. Let's stop funding everything we've been funding in the metro through the gas tax and just let the metro pick up the projects on their own. So that the local option sales tax was not to supplant the gas tax, but was to supplement or complement. Is that correct? And you know, I don't sit on your committee, Representative Leader, and that's how I read it, but I understand what Representative Lanning is saying. Representative Leader.
That was part of the discussions we had in committee. That's correct, Madam Chair. There was a concern that it could change in the future, and that's why I believe it's, you know, as I pointed out, and that was the rationale putting in that percentage of the 50-50.
Thank you for that. And Representative Lanning, maybe if you want to pursue this, you'll have time to offer something. If that's all right with you, Representative Lanning, I think what we want to do before we go to amendments is see if there's public testimony either for or against the Representative Leader's bill. Is there anyone in the public who would like to testify at this time? You can also testify on the amendments if you'd like. If not, we will go to Representative Broad.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm trying to recall. I was a good student and listened to all the overviews that are, I think they're referred to as the crack tax staff. I can't say that real fast many times. But, and I think I recall Joel Michael talking about the regressivity of the gas tax. And for some reason, seven times more regressive than the sales tax sticks in my mind, Mr. Michael. But I'm wondering, can you remind me about the regressive nature of the gas tax?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I don't have my incidence report here, and I don't have the details memorized, but Representative Broad is correct that the incidence pattern of the gas tax is one of the sort of more regressive of the taxes that the state imposes. I'm just not, I didn't bring my incidence stuff.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure as to the issues.
And I don't have my incident study either, but I just found my handouts from the original House briefing, and maybe you can look for it. And I agree, Representative Broad is absolutely right. It is a regressive tax, but we can get that information in front of the committee in a few seconds here. Further on that, Representative Broad, Representative Yarrow.
Madam Chair, how does it compare to bonding and paying interest rate, taxing, increasing gas tax as opposed to borrowing money, bonding and borrowing and paying interest rate? Is that which is more regressive, Mr. Michael?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Michael, do you want to take a shot at how regressive bonding is?
Madam Chair, Representative Yaros and members of the committee, issuing bonds is not really a matter of being regressive or progressive. It's an issue of what the ultimate tax is that pays the bonds back. And so if you use a progressive tax like the individual income tax, it would be progressive. And if you use a regressive tax, it would be regressive. But basically, whether you borrow or use cash is sort of a timing issue, and it affects which generation of taxpayers pay for the items that you purchase with the debt that you incur.
Thank you for that, Representative Braun.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just one other issue. When I'm hearing people talk about this, the issue of a tax here or a tax there, one thing that I'm always surprised to hear, but I hear quite often, is, well, people won't even know because tax, you know, the gas prices fluctuate so dramatically, and that's right, they do. But my thought is, in regards to good tax policy that was set out for us by, I think, Mr. Michael O'Ginney, what are the policies that create a good tax structure? Hidden taxes were not one of them. So if the debate and the discussion is, well, heck, people won't even know about it, I think that that's the exact wrong direction to go. I think that if we're going to go into this, we should go into it with our eyes wide open and stand up and make sure the constituents know what taxes that they're paying if we want a good, complex, transparent system. And these hidden taxes where the suggestion is that they'll just slide right into the cost that people already have, I guess I have concern over that argument.
To that point?
Is that kind of like the hidden fees?
Yeah. That's right.
Madam Chair, yeah.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I talked to Dr. Wilson specifically about the point that Representative Dodd was raising. It's in the tax incident study. He showed me the page, and I can see it, but I can't quite tell you that it's, I think it's point 002 in regards to the regressivity. Yeah. And it was so small that he said you didn't even notice it. It's in that tax history study and I know whatever page it's on.
And Representative Earhart, the pages are just fabulous. We all know okay. that. And they have found a tax incident study for us. And so we're going to get that correct information here in a minute and we can answer your issue and Representative Rod's issue as well. I think the hidden tax conversation is a good one. I do think this is one of those taxes that some would argue it's hidden because it's in the price at the pump, and others would actually say it's very transparent because it's a user fee that people actually pay as they buy the product, mm-hmm. and they don't pay it if they don't buy the product. So I think you can have a good debate either way. We're waiting on that response, but it looks like Representative Leader, did you want to add something?
I think maybe I should stay out of it, but I certainly like to comment. Madam Chair,
yep.
By me,
yes.
A few years ago, the governor appointed and met for 2 years determining how we could fund transportation. We got a book full of it, and I'd like to, there were many reasons why you didn't use one tax or another, cost of administration, the amount of money it raised and all of that, and it ended up, and that was a committee of public members and some legislators, and it ended up that the most viable taxes were the gasoline tax and the motor vehicle license fees. Now, I think we have to fund transportation, and I would like, from the members of the committee, if we don't do gasoline tax, that someone should suggest how we should fund transportation. That's the problem we have, rather than discussing the progressivity or regressivity of a tax. We are faced with a situation we don't have any alternative.
Thank you. And Representative Simpson.
Just to the point of fees, as I'm looking through this bill, we're not only doing taxes, there's fee increases all the way across this bill. So everybody should make sure that they're well aware that Representative Solberg, that they are in here also.
Representative Colt.
Madam Chair, and I apologize, Representative Leader, if we talked about this earlier. I'm supposed to be in another committee. I just got a note that we're voting again shortly, so I'm going to try to run up and back and forth. But I do have a question about the sales tax issue. If I understand the bill correctly, the metro area sales tax does not require a voter-approved referendum, but a sales tax in Greater Minnesota would require a voter-approved referendum. Can you explain to me, and again, I apologize if you've already done this, but can you explain to me the why behind that? What's the policy reason for not requiring it in the metro and requiring it in Greater Minnesota?
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Representative Coles, the bill was put together basically by the committee. These are the way the committee wanted the bill. It's not my decision. That's the way it worked out to get the bill together. I'm sorry, I can't give you a different answer.
Representative Cole.
Madam Chair, I'm just going to, just a little commentary, or I'm going to try to interpret what Representative Leader just said there. There is no good policy distinction, at least he's not articulating one for that. I understand, Representative Leader, that it's a committee process, and I understand how that works. I was trying to understand if there was something that was discussed in terms of why the different policy in the metro versus Greater Minnesota. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Cole. And I won't guess why Representative Leader has the provisions the way he does, but I will say that the Tax Committee is probably the committee that's most aware of local option sales taxes, whether or not people should vote for them, and anyone who served on this committee or anywhere in the legislature has a record on where they, whether or not they think people should get to vote on local option sales taxes that we can just pull out and hand that around, but we won't do that. I think that Representative Leader has a very difficult task, and I know that he has had a lot of bipartisan help, and I think that, you know, we're trying to get a bill to conference. Now, if you don't want to raise revenue to fund these areas, you probably don't want to help get that bill to conference, but I think it is complicated, and Representative Coles, you know that we are a very diverse group, whether it's by party or by where we live in the state, and I don't envy Representative Leader trying to bring this item together, but it's good to be having the debate because this is the Tax Committee and that's where we should have it. We want to get Mr. Michael to answer Representative Broad's question on regressivity. Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, to perhaps to put this into perspective, because everything is sort of relative, what I'll tell you is the suits indexes for sort of a variety of different taxes, to put the gas tax suits index in context. Again, keeping in mind that positive numbers are progressive, with the highest possible number being 1, 0 is proportional, minus 1 is the most progressive tax. The general sales tax is a minus 1.7. The motor vehicle sales tax, which is affected by the dedication in this bill, is a minus 1.42, so that's not quite as, it's a little bit less regressive than the general sales tax. The gas tax is a minus 0.253, so it's more regressive than either of those two sales taxes, but it's not the most regressive tax. There are more. The gambling taxes, for example, are 0.477. Cigarette tax, the most progressive, is 0.486. So that just sort of gives you a little bit of a of Minnesota care taxes. They're also more regressive than the motor fuels tax.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Other questions for Representative Leader? My understanding is now we do have someone from the public who would like to testify. And if there is someone, please come down, either for or against, House File 946. Welcome.
Madam Chair, before I...
Yes, Representative Leader.
Something Representative Coles, maybe this would help. Actually, in statute now, Representative Coles, population under 1 mil goes to a referendum, and more than 1 million doesn't have to elect the metro. Apparently that's in statute now. I wasn't aware of that, Representative Coles.
Thank you, Representative Leader. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Erin Sexton with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. The Minnesota Chamber, representing 2,400 businesses statewide, is very proud to be part of the effort to pass Minnesota's transportation amendment to dedicate transportation dollars to transportation. And we appreciate that this bill is keeping the commitment to Minnesotans to split those dollars 60% for roads and 40% for bridges, or 40% for transit. The Chamber was a proponent of the transportation amendment because transportation is a growing issue for our membership. Our members are users of the system. They recognize that it is important for businesses to move freight and other goods efficiently and safely, and for employees to get to work in a timely and safe manner. We learned a lot from our work on the transportation amendment. Most importantly, the public told us that transportation taxes should be used for transportation. That was a simple mandate on November 7th. Take the money the state raises from transportation sources and put it to work, keeping people moving. On that note, we are disappointed that this bill does not dedicate the motor vehicle sales tax on leased vehicles to transportation. This is a transportation tax that should be used to fund transportation projects. There's very little debate over the need for more transportation investment. I think the debate lies in how much and how fast we do that investment. Our members, and I would argue most Minnesotans, support a transportation that is modest, common sense, and balanced. The Minnesota Chamber does polling, policy development sessions around the state, and has received support from a number of local chambers for our transportation policy. And I can tell you that our members are not ready or willing to support the large funding package before you. The Minnesota Chamber does support a more modest and balanced funding package that includes the statutory dedication of MVEST 6040, a 5-cent gas tax, increased license tab fees, bonding to accelerate projects, and looking at using 100% of the dedication on the sales tax and lease vehicles for transit as a way to keep that package balanced. The sales tax alone, when we look at the taxes in this bill, the sales tax alone would raise business taxes by up to $100 million a year. Many people don't recognize that the sales tax is a significant business tax, and according to the Department of Revenue, businesses pay about 45% of the sales tax. The funding that we support falls somewhere between the proposal brought before you today and and where the governor stands. We realize the package that we support does not meet all the needs for roads and transit. We know they are great, but it would be significant progress and will demonstrate real progress to the public and increase their confidence that new investments in transportation will improve their lives. We also recognize that a modest approach will not end the transportation funding debate and that we'll need to roll up our sleeves to garner more support for transportation funding going forward. I know there is a lot of support for a major funding package in 07, but the Chamber believes that after almost 20 years of inaction that we are going to need to take more than 1 year and take a little longer-term approach to our transportation investment, recognizing that we are not going to solve this problem in 1 year. With that, I will end my comments, and I appreciate the committee's time this evening.
Thank you, Ms. Sexton. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to testify either for or against? Ms. Sexton, may I ask you, I'm trying to figure out, if I just want to get this clear, the Minnesota Chamber does not support House File 946, or kind of, I wasn't quite sure. I heard something between the governor and this bill. I'm just trying to figure out, I thought I heard you like parts of it, but you wish that and I have to tell you the tax committee is the committee that has fought off the effort to take the sales tax from motor vehicle lease cars and give it to the transportation committee. So the fault falls right here. Similarly, we have a sales tax on auto parts. We don't ship that off to transportation, and generally we guard our sales tax very closely in the tax committee. So I heard that you supported, or the chamber, not you personally, the chamber support would prefer that we gave that money from the tax committee to the transportation committee. So you maybe wish we would have done that, but in general, you like most of Representative Leader's bill, or just not quite sure?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for not being more clear. I think we think Representative Leader's bill goes a little further than our membership supports. It does have a 10-cent gas tax. We at this time support a 5-cent gas tax. We do not support an increase in the sales tax to fund transportation and transit projects. As you all well know, businesses pay a very significant portion of the sales tax, and so obviously that is a major concern for us at this point. What we do support is an increase in the license tab fees, like I said, a 5-cent gas tax, and we do support bonding to accelerate projects. And like I said, I know that doesn't go as far as this bill goes or as far as many members would like to see us go this session, but we think it's taken us a long time to get into this problem. It's going to take us more than 1 year to get out, and we should take a little bit longer-term approach to our transportation funding. I think this is more than my members are willing to support, and I think it's more than many Minnesotans are probably willing to support at this point.
Thank you for that clarification, Ms. Sexton. Representative Carlson, did you have a question for Ms. Sexton?
Ms. Sexton, you used some amounts in terms of what you felt it was going to cost business. Now, another part of that I hear from the business community is the huge costs that they're incurring, especially in the metropolitan area, as a result of the traffic jams and so on that we're encountering, that all the projections are simply going to get worse. And I think you do us a bit of a disservice when you talk about only one half the equation and not both halves. You know, what this bill costs business, but not what it's going to save business in the long run when we eliminate those problems. And going slow doesn't help you in that regard. I think the more rapidly we move to resolve those traffic issues, the more money at least certain elements within the business community are going to save. We've got to get the goods and services that are necessary to well serve the people in the metropolitan area and to increase your profits. We've got to get those goods and services to market, and we're going backward. There's going to be 1 million more people in the metropolitan area in the next 15 to 20 years, and going slow doesn't resolve that issue either. I think you ought to look at things a little bit more futuristically.
than what you are and look at what the net costs are, not what only one half the equation is. Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't need to respond. I made my point.
Actually,
I
appreciate your comments, Senator, Representative, but I think, like I said, there's very little debate over the need for new investment, and our members recognize that. I think it's how fast we go about doing that. I think what we support obviously would not be the end of the transportation funding debate. I think we need to look at a little longer-term approach instead of the amount that we're doing, looking at over $1 billion a year in new taxes and investments. You know, like I said, we've asked our members, we've done polling, we've gone out and talked to them, and received input from our members in a number of different ways. And at this point, they don't support this large of a funding package.
Representative Carlson.
Just very quickly, part of the point, in fact, a major part of the point I'm trying to make is what the net cost is. And I think that's what you're ignoring with your testimony here tonight.
Members, this is an interesting piece. You know, thank goodness for the pages again that we've got the incident study here. So I'm actually looking now at the percentage of the tax paid by business versus individuals. And I think it's interesting to note, and I can understand Ms. Sexton's testimony, why the chamber might feel that way. When we look at this general sales tax, 51% of that is borne by residents and 3.8% by non-residents and 45.2% by business. But if you get to the sales tax on motor vehicles, 66.3% is borne by residents and only 33.7% by business. So definitely would be less of a burden for the business community to contribute in this way if we change that. So it would actually give you tax relief from the situation you're in now. The motor vehicle fuels tax is 54.9% carried by individuals and 44% by business. The tab fees are 81% by individuals and 19% by business. So it's interesting to see that all those different pieces have different incidences for residents versus business. So we appreciate your testimony and always a pile of information for all of us here. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that most large metropolitan funded transit systems through dedicated sources, the vast majority use a municipal, regional, or county sales tax. Atlanta has a sales tax of 1%, Boston 1 cent, 1%, Cleveland 1%, Dallas 1%, Denver 1%, Houston 1%, Phoenix 0.40 sales tax, all of these, St. Louis 0.75%, San Diego 0.42%, San Francisco 1.05%, San Jose 0.75%, and Seattle 0.80%. All of these people have business communities that surely must support the transit taxes that they pay to move their people around. And if I remember correctly, your membership is at least half rural, am I correct?
I think that's, I think that's close to right.
Well, Madam Chair, it may be that they don't feel the congestion pinch that we need, that we have in the metro area here, and that we have to get some of these people off the roads with their cars and into transit, so I don't know.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Just to respond to that briefly, when we did ask some of our members if they did support a metro-wide sales tax for transit, we broke it out. We did break those numbers out then, rural versus metro, and it was our metro members who did not support the metro-wide sales tax most. And I think to that point, when you look at some of the other metro communities that have done a sales tax, I don't know what the sales tax burden is on businesses in those other communities, but I do know there are significant business inputs in our sales tax here in Minnesota. And we have looked at what some of those other communities, their overall tax burden is, and it is pretty significantly different than Minnesota. So I think there are some good reasons why Minnesota has not, at least the Minnesota Chamber has not jumped on board to support a metro-wide sales tax at this point.
Thank you. Representative Brock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And those tax incidence studies are always full of really good information. I think some of the things that you mentioned, Madam Chair, 45.2%, 56%, all those things are very interesting. But what I'm wondering, Ms. Sexton, if you can tell me, you know, we often hear that businesses don't pay tax. Somebody else does, and it's called the consumer. So I'm wondering if you can tell me, I mean, if the cost of doing business increases, whether it's transportation, whether it's other regulatory burdens that government puts on you, what do you do, what do your businesses do? Do they pass the cost down? Do they stop investing? Do they potentially not have the ability to hire that next employee? What happens in those cases?
Ms. Sexton.
Madam Chair, I mean, I think any one of those instances depending on the business, but you know, I think it does usually either get passed on to the consumer and higher costs for those goods, passed on in lower wages to workers, or are passed on to investors in those companies. So, and I think there's a number of different ways that businesses handle those additional tax burdens.
Thank you. Other questions?
I have another.
Representative Earhart.
Just reminded by Representative Carlson, how many testifiers we've had from business come into transportation both last couple of years and this year who actually say, you've got to do something about the congestion. I've got $45 an hour, $55 an hour truck drivers sitting in traffic out on the freeways, and that just is unacceptable. So do something about the congestion. Raise the gas tax. Put more money into the road system to relieve congestion. Motronics, which 2 years ago was complaining that they couldn't get their products to market, to the airport, because it was taking them too long to move their goods to transportation system in the metro area. Shear Lumber, the guy who runs that, Roger Shear, who then testified about his truck drivers out there trying to deliver and not being able to. And he's a good Republican.
Representative Demmer.
Yes, that's right.
Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question actually isn't related to Ms. Sexton, so if there's anything else we can do.
Ms. Sexton, thank you for taking the hot seat. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
You've done so far,
committee members.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, question I have, Representative Leader, and we're back on the sales tax thing again. And I couldn't help but notice that in the rural areas, of course, you kind of answered the question about the authorization through referendum, and that's the difference from the metro area. I also noticed that anything authorized in the rural areas after a referendum has to be specific to a project. And I guess what I'm curious about, Representative Leader, is how do we define it? Does that mean, like, if I'm going to do a stretch of highway in my area, that's a project, and once that's completed, we'd have to do another referendum to do another stretch of highway in another part of the county? How would this work, Representative Leader?
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Demmer. I had the same problems. That's what came out of committee. But actually, you could say a project is from one end of the county to the other end of the county, and that's probably what would happen. And they take it in segments and increments. And generally, the counties would probably establish it and say, this is our one project, and it would be that length, and it would be split up as far as when the money comes.
Representative Demmer?
Thank you. That's no.
Other questions? Is there anyone from the public who would like to testify either for or against House Bill 946? We do have a couple amendments. I don't know who's the author, and I don't know if that author would like to offer them. Is there somebody who wanted to offer an amendment?
Sure. Madam Chair, I will offer the A15 amendment.
The A15 amendment. Representative Broad moves the 80946A15 amendment. Representative Broad.
Well, Madam Chair, the way I guess I would explain this amendment is it essentially takes out the language that alters the formula for the new dollars.
Members, we're going to digging out my good hair. Page 24, members. Representative Broad deleting Article 4. Representative Leader
Thank
you.
You
want to discuss the or your thoughts on the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you delete Article 4, it takes basically the whole county state highway formula, because you have the research account, you have the state park account, you have the distribution, the revolving loan account, and not only do you change the formula, which some of it is constitutional, it also changes the agreement that the counties finally agreed on as far as the new monies go. And I think that's a great detriment to the bill. In fact, it would practically cut the county state aid highway system out of the bill.
Madam Chair, maybe I could clarify. What is being changed in the bill is the new language, so it doesn't cut that portion out of the bill. It changes the new language.
Representative Brown, can I ask if that's the A15 amendment, right?
Actually,
Madam Chair,
if she deletes the entire Article 4, though, it goes beyond that. I know that's in the new language, but Article 4 doesn't stop on page 24.
Right. Madam Chair, the way that I understand the drafting of these amendments is that if you're deleting the language, you're essentially deleting the new language. You're not deleting what is occurring in there in statute today, is the way I understand how these are drafted.
Thank you, Representative Broad. Mr. Michael or Ms. Dalton, did you want to clarify some members? No. How we're looking at the Broad amendment and for Representative Leader. I think Representative Broad saying she's leaving the current law in place. As it relates, she's leaving the current CASA formula in place. She's deleting the changes to the CASA formula. Is that correct, Representative Broad?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Mr. Michael, Ms. Dalton, yes. So, Representative Leader, members, does everyone have that?
Yep.
More discussion on the Broad amendment. Representative Earhart.
The county, if you're, Madam Chair, are we now talking about deleting the whole section or not?
No.
All right. Then I will speak to it this way, Madam Chair. The county has worked for 2 summers to reach accord. The Minnesota Association of Counties came up with this structure that's in the bill because they know that more money is needed in the metro area, and they've all agreed to this. There's nobody here from the counties, I guess, to speak to it, but the county engineers and all the different counties finally agreed after years of struggling with this thing.
Thank you, Representative Earhart. I see someone approaching to testify. Would you like to answer or you'd like to comment on Representative Earhart's comments? Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Vanosik, and I'm here representing the Minnesota Inter-County Association. Respond to the comments made by Representative Earhart. It is true that the all 87 counties have agreed to the formula change that is contained in Representative Leader's bill. And the Association of Minnesota Counties reaffirmed their support for the formula change at their most recent annual meeting last December.
Thank you for your testimony. Other questions for Mr. Vanosik?
Madam Chair, if I could just say one more word about the current formula. The current formula was established, I believe, about 46 years ago, and it reflects the demographic and economic conditions that Minnesota was in back in the 1950s. And as we all know, the demographics and economics of the state of Minnesota has changed substantially since then. And the formula change that's envisioned on just the new money that would come into the CASA fund if those bills pass reflects, at least in some small part, those demographic and economic changes.
Thank you. Other questions or discussion to the Broad Amendment? Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support this amendment because it leaves the current formula in place. Without this, the way the language of the bill is currently drafted before us means that Greater Minnesota will get less of a percent of the new gas tax than what we currently get of the existing gas tax. And I understand the counties have agreed to this. but I respectfully disagree with that agreement.
Thank you for that, Representative Rod.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I just wanted to say, too, you know, I appreciate what the counties have done. I think you've done some great work, Speaker Vanosik, in terms of getting everybody together. But I look at the issues of the rural roads and rural road safety, and I look at some of the lane miles that are still out there and that need some assistance. And then I think, well, you know, the formula when it was negotiated, I don't know if it was negotiated in the framework of all the other taxes that the metro area is going to be allowed to do in this bill, whether it's the sales tax, the wheelage tax fee, the transit tax. It just seems to me that there's some skew going on in terms of the transit piece that maybe wasn't considered when the negotiations did occur. So while I absolutely appreciate the work that you've done, I think that this bill brings forward a whole new opportunity for funding for the metro area that I don't think is out there for the rural area.
Speaker Vanosik, did you want
to comment? Madam Chair, the negotiations that took place among the counties, and it took place over a several month period of time, it was not just about the CASAL formula change. It was about the other major pieces that are contained in Representative Leader's bill. And so, for example, the organization that I represent had advocated for a much more aggressive CASA formula change, including bringing in factors that base the CASA formula on population, which is not a part of this bill. But as a result of all those deliberations that included discussion on the wheelage tax option, included discussion on the sales tax option, included discussion on tab three adjustments and the gas tax increase, this was the formula change that everybody came together and agreed on. So it did take into account the other aspects that you mentioned.
Thank you. Other comments to the amendment? Representative Coles requests a roll call. Are there other questions or comments to the broad amendment? Is there public testimony to the broad amendment?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Robert Tennyson. I represent the I-35W Solutions Alliance, which is the Joint Powers Board of Hennepin, Scott, Dakota counties, plus the cities from Minneapolis, Richfield, Bloomington, Burnsville, Lakeville, and Savage. And to Representative Broad's question, this was extensively discussed by our group. All of the taxes were discussed. They were all considered. And it was the consideration of my board that we would support a balanced package such as this, and that if you start taking apart pieces such as you're proposing, the whole package becomes undone. And if that's the result you want, then that's what you get. But that's what will happen. The my board will not support the undoing of the CASA formula that is being proposed, and then still support the rest of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Tennyson. Further questions? Further testimony from the public, either for or against the broad amendment? If not, the clerk will call the roll on the broad amendment. Lencheski?
No.
Atkins? Broad?
Yes.
Carlson?
No.
Dabney?
No.
De La Forest? Demmer?
Yes.
Dill?
Nope.
Earhart?
No.
Hillstrom?
No.
Yarrows?
No.
Coonan?
No.
Coles?
No.
Lanning?
Yes.
Lesh? Liebling? Marquardt?
No.
Mullery? Paulson? Rukavina?
No.
Simpson?
Yes.
Solberg?
No.
Tao? Tilbury?
No.
Wolfswager?
No.
Sellers?
Atkins? De La Forest? Lesh? Liebling? Mallory? Paulson? Powell? Zellers?
On a vote of 14 nays and 4 ayes, the amendment does not prevail. Representative Rod, did you have another amendment?
I do, Madam Chair. This is my last amendment, the A14 amendment. I'll move the A14 amendment.
Thank you. Representative Rod moves the H09-46A14 amendment. Representative Rod.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. This is a lot of language to do a very simple thing, and it's essentially just to change the transit distribution to 35 for the metro and 5 for the rural. Pardon me, Greater Minnesota is how it's defined in the amendment.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, this changes the basically the formula changes the 40% from 35 metro and 5 rural. The bill provides for 36.5 metro and 3.5 rural. And that was after a lot of bills and a lot of, really a lot of problems within committee, because Metro Transit wants to do the 2020 plan. The governor had 38-2. The rural people also have a 2020 plan, basically, and they wanted 36-4. The change became about because of, we didn't have the vehicle sales, leased vehicle monies. We couldn't fund transit in the metro area to the extent that they needed. The metro and rural area both have a need, but it's not relative to the same percentage because of the difference in need, and that's why the committee finally decided to take a 36.5 and 3.5. If we change it to 35.5, Madam Chair, there's a real problem for Metro Transit. They were reluctant to accept what we have, and the other way around, the rural transit was a real problem, and it just causes some real problems. If that's changed, it changes the whole complexity, the structure of the bill for Metro Transit.
Thank you. Comments to the A15 amendment, Representative Polk.
Madam Chair, I'd request a roll call, and I would just note, I feel like I'm sitting next to former Representative Dan Dorman. I feel like Dan Dorman is channeling himself here through Representative Broad tonight, but I would request a roll call.
Madam Chair, I think Representative Dorman would be very concerned with that statement. Madam Chair, if I might just respond. You know, we have an aging demographic. All you have to do is look at the data, and 2020 is the year that Minnesotans over 65 will outnumber kids for the first time in our state's history. And so that's just not just happening in the metro area. It's also happening in the rural areas. And if I think about the rural transit in Lesueur, Minnesota, for example, and the needs that they have, I think that probably is something that is happening, you know, in terms of the not only the needs in terms of dollars, but the cost per capita, too. You know, you drive longer distance, you're serving fewer people at the same time, and so I think that there's some significant challenges for rural transit that I don't think are being met in this bill. So if we're talking about putting some dollars in, I think this is just a more fair approach. Out of the 40% dedication, all we're asking for is 5%. I think that's a fair approach.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, you have the right that everybody other county has in here on Metis to raise the amount of money that you need through a sales tax for your transit problems. But moreover, I'm overjoyed to hear for the first time in 4 years that Greater Minnesota actually wants and needs transit money. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. We're always voting against transit, the transit hogs. You know, our leader always says the transit hogs. They always want all the money. And we say, well, we balance it. We give you road money and we have transit money. Now you actually want council money.
That's great. That's progress. Thank you.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I come from an area that is has a large number of hog farms and pig farms, and so I do appreciate Representative Earhart's use of those terms because they add they're a significant economic generator in my area. So, you know, one thing that there's a big differentiation, I think, when we talk about transit, I think automatically people default to light rail or personal rapid or something on a broader scale, and what I'm talking about are bus systems that are in our small towns serving our senior citizens and other folks in these small towns.
Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I speak in favor of Representative Broad's amendment. I am also from rural Minnesota, and we don't have a bus system in Hayfield, but I also represent part of Rochester. Rochester is the third largest city in the state, has extensive buses, and has needs for transit also, and I think that the 35-5 is much more fair, and I'm guessing places like Mankato, St. Cloud, Winona possibly has a transit also where they could use that. So, and possibly even up in Cook County. I don't know, Representative Dill, if they need transit up there. But and Duluth. But members, I think you need to keep that in mind, too. When we're not just talking about the small towns. We're talking about significant population regional centers, too. So I
thank you
support
for that.
The amendment.
And Representative Demmer, Rochester and Duluth and Bloomington are about the same size, and we're kind of a regional center there too. I do want to tell you that what folks may not know is that many of the metro communities, in addition to these other forms of funding, also pay property taxes to pay for transit. And in fact, Representative Earhart and I, our communities have a transit system called the B-Line that runs between our two cities, completely paid for by the taxpayers of Bloomington and Edina. And so on top of all these other things we're talking about tonight, many people in the metro pay property taxes on top of that to fund transit systems that their communities want. So I just wanted to put that out there for the discussion. Representative Rukavina.
Well, Madam Chair, I want to oppose the amendment, and let me tell you why. As much as I'd like, you know, more bus transportation personally, so I could get around on good night. But anyway, you know.
Good night. Representative Rukavina.
What's a good night?
Get on
a good night. Stand with me on a good night.
Representative and members, Representative Rukavina. And Representative Rukavina actually had a good friend of his. He was our transit. He was the driver on that good night. So let's not have anybody not know that the legislators visiting Representative Rukavina were driving as we visited the establishments throughout Representative Rukavina's district.
Hilster.
Representative Hilster might want to get in on this.
It never ceases to amaze me here. And Representative Cole, you know, you brought it up earlier about general fund money. You want to put general fund money in this bill. And you know, you were in control of the Republicans for 8 years, and you never put any general fund money. In fact, the governor, who was the governor for 4 years, never proposed it, and he was the majority leader for 4 years and never proposed it. Now, while you were in control, you established some of the language you're deleting here, and or that's deleted in the bill, Representative Broad, and you're changing was language you put in when we did the transit levy takeover in the 2001 tax bill, and the numbers that you did for metro rural Republicans was you gave 94.25% to the metro area and 5.75% to the rural areas of this state. This bill, as written by Representative Leader, if you look at the percentages all the way, gives 9.8%. So it's better than what you did when you were in control for 8 years when you established this this transit division in the first place. So, you know, you can try to rewrite history. You folks did it. Now when you're in the minority, I understand how you got to throw bombs. Nobody's better at it than me, I don't think, being in the minority. But the fact of the matter is that Representative Leader has, in his bill, corrected a little bit the distribution, almost in a sense, almost not a doubling, but, you know, what is it, 30-40% increase? So I'd oppose the amendment. I think we've had this fight years ago, and you Republicans won, and now we're making it a little better in the bill than you did.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bryan.
Madam Chair, I find it very interesting, Representative Rukavina, we hear it on the House floor from Representative Sertich as well. When we seem to disagree with where you want to go, which is fine, I think it's good to have disagreement. That's what this place is about. It's about debate, strong debate. That's great. But when we don't seem to agree with you, you say it's a food fight or it's throwing bombs. I would characterize it much differently. I would characterize it as, you know what, we're trying to put our ideas on the table to get some alternatives on the table. If I don't like something that's in the bill, why would I not try to change it? That's what we're doing. We're trying to change it to make it work a little bit better in our view. We may disagree about that, and that's great. But it's not about throwing bombs. It's not about food fights. It's about doing and serving the people of Minnesota. We just have difference of opinion on how to go about that. I think that's fair.
Well, Madam Chair, and that is fair. But the point being, these are your numbers, and Bernie made them better. They were your numbers. They weren't the Democrats' numbers. They were your numbers.
Well, Madam Chair, I would argue that if they're in state statute, they're the people of Minnesota's numbers. And what we're talking about is that we're talking about the 40% of the new money going in and the 40% dedication to transit. And that's what we're talking about. And I'm not trying to rewrite history. What I'm talking about is from here forward. And that's what this bill is about. And I think that's what Representative Leader is here for. And all I'm trying to do is say that the rural transit folks need a fair shake as well.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What's different in this case is we're talking about a boatload of additional money going to transportation. And all we're saying here is that let's be fair in considering a bigger percent of that going to rural transit. And we just passed out the capital investment bill today. $40 million out of the $135 million is dedicated to light rail transit here in St. Paul. 40 out of 135. And all we're saying here is that we've got some rural transit needs, and why can't we slightly increase this percentage in the bill? I think it's reasonable.
Other comments to the A-14 amendment? Is there public testimony either for or against the A-14 amendment? Representative Poles has asked for a roll call. The clerk will call the roll.
Franceschi?
No.
Atkins? Broad?
Yes.
Carlson?
No.
Dabney?
No.
De La Forest? Demmer?
Yes.
Bill?
Nope.
Earhart?
No.
Gilstrom?
No.
Jarls?
No.
Koonin?
No.
Coles?
No.
Lanning?
Yes.
Fletch? Liebling? Marquardt?
No.
Mullery? Paulson? Rukavina?
Like, well, maybe, but I'll vote no.
Simpson?
Shame.
Solberg?
No.
Tal? Tilbury?
No.
Wolfslager?
No.
Zellers? Atkins? De La Forest? Lesh? Liebling? Mullery? Paulson? Simpson? Tal? Sellers.
And before I call the roll, I know members are in lots of committees, and I know both sides of the aisle are sending people out to try to find them. We have not announced the roll, so we can recall any members who are walking in.
Yep. Liebling?
No.
Tal?
No.
You just voted against
Hunt. Either side. We're delaying with the announcement. Either side of the aisle can run quickly. And we know members, these members are excused in this committee when they're missing votes. There are a lot of votes taking place right now. With that, I will announce the roll then. With 16 no's and 3 ayes, the amendment is not adopted. Other amendments? If not, We are to the bill. I will ask one last time. Representative Lanning has an amendment. I take that back. Representative Lanning has paid this to the system and handing out his amendment. Just take a minute to get that. And again, you know, members, I do want to say that in this committee, it is my intention, we're going to start a really rigorous schedule here pretty quickly. Leading up to the break and after the break, we're going to have all the omnibus bills coming through, lots of roll call, lots of activity, and members are always excused from this committee. We're not going to play games with that. If you're not here, you're excused, but we will do our best to accommodate and try to get people into the room. Representative Lanning. Representative Lanning, would you like to move your amendment and explain to us what it does? Thank you.
All right. With the amendment that doesn't have a number on it, you can call it A1, I guess.
Lanning amendment.
Madam Chair, members, Ms. Dalton was kind enough to help work out some language that I think is more clear than what is currently in Section 1, Subdivision 5 of Article 5. And if you want to look on page 29, I can read to you what the effect of these changes, how it would now read. It would now read, in any year, the percentage of total trunk highway fund expenditures attributable to projects in the metropolitan transportation area within the meaning of Section 297A.992, Subdivision 1, may not be less than blank percent or greater than blank percent of the total. And I understand that we need to get those minimum maximum percentages from MnDOT, and they're not readily available at this time.
Thank you, Representative Lanning. And this bill still needs to go to Representative Carlson. Can you help me out? Will this go directly to Ways and Means from here? Are we done in finance? Yes, directly to Ways and Means, so we could get those numbers by then if this amendment is adopted. Representative Leader, to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Apparently it clarifies in the minds of some people. We thought the language is okay, and this clarifies it. It's not a problem.
Madam Chair.
Representative Fulmer.
Madam Chair, I would rather that we put some percentage in there, though, so that we have and then change the percentages if necessary in Ways and Means, unless the author or the staff thinks it's better to do it this way. Maybe some advice from the staff.
And we'll ask staff here in a moment. And I want to make clear that people just heard Representative Leader's okay with this. He's trying to make it work, and his intent is to solve the issue that Representative Lanning has. I think it's now a process point as to how we would get this done. Mr. Michael and Ms. Dalton, no? We're looking, yes, welcome to Representative Solberg's question.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Matt Burris with House Research. You could put in numbers if you wanted to at this point. I would suggest that they would probably need to be changed, or at least I would recommend changing them based on data that we could get from MnDOT on the actual construction and trunk highway expenditures that have occurred in the past 2 years to have a more accurate picture of the variation between the metro area expenditures and Greater Minnesota.
Madam Chair, I'm okay with the way it is then. And we'll correct that.
Okay, Representative Lanning, thoughts on... Are you on, Representative Lanning, are you on Ways and Means?
No, I'm not.
You're not, okay. So how would you like us to proceed then, Representative Lanning?
Well, I'm willing to trust staff here, and when they get the numbers from MnDOT, I assume that it's... going to be a swing like 48 is the minimum, 52 is the maximum. Is that correct, Representative Leader?
Yeah. Representative Leader.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's correct, Representative. I watched the last number of years, and it's generally around that 50%, you know, plus or minus, maybe 2 or 3 at the most.
Thank you, Representative Lanning.
Well, I'm okay with trusting staff here
Other questions or testimony that for or against this amendment, Representative Carlson?
Madam Chair, this is a
committee is dealing with fiscal issues, and the bills are introduced with blank appropriations and blank percentages and that kind of thing, but it is kind of extraordinary that a bill would be leaving a committee with fiscal impact that doesn't have some direction in terms of the number. I understand what's being said, but I think it should be pointed out that this is extraordinary. Amendment done this way when you're leaving the committee of significance of the tax committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Simpson.
To that point, I think Representative Leader made the number of 4852. Why don't we put that number in, and it can be changed in the ways and means if need be.
I think that would be more appropriate.
Are you offering that as an amendment?
I'd make that a friendly amendment.
Madam Chair, I will accept that as
accepted by
not less than 48% or greater than 52% of the total to go with the number for the time being.
Members, if you can look on the handwritten amendment then, we're filling in the blanks here. There's two blanks. And Representative Lanning accepts Representative Simpson's amendment as a friendly amendment that the first number is 48 is the first blank, and the second number is 52 in the second blank. Do all members have that? Representative Earhart.
Staff explain, Madam Chair, what 287.992 is? Sub 2? Sub 1? Because they're part of this affair.
Right here. It's the local sales tax.
Representative Earhart, Representative Lanning stole the book from staff. but, you know, they've just got it all in their head here. So, Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, 297.892 subdivision 1 is actually the definition of what the metropolitan transportation area is.
Okay.
Representative Earhart.
Sub 1 is the same, you said, or that's...
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, subdivision 1 is the definition portion of the local sales tax, and that's actually what defines the seven-county metro area that's included in the metropolitan transportation area.
Representative Earhart? Are there other comments or questions to the Lanning Amendment? I'm going to wait and make sure Representative Leader is okay here. And I think that what I'm understanding is everybody's intending to be supportive. We're just going to hang on here to get Representative Leader's input before we vote.
Madam Chair, actually, this was discussed at great lengths in the, and there was the call was to put a fly in it, but not a ceiling. And you can ask the committee and
Representative Leader, I know you people are talking to you over there too, and we're just trying to get your feeling now. Representative Simpson has filled in the blanks to the Lanning Amendment, where we now have that it would state less than 48% or greater than 52% of the total, and we want to know your thoughts on that amendment to the amendment.
Madam Chair, we can get those numbers from MnDOT and get them more closely. And we could probably adjust them if it's okay in ways and means. Representative Silver.
Representative Silver.
Madam Chair, it's always adjustable, and I think it's good to have at least the numbers in to begin with.
Any other comments? If not, I don't think there was a call for a roll call on that. I think we've got the goodwill here of Representative Lanning, Simpson, Silver, Leader, Earhart and Carlson at stake here, that we're going to try to get this worked out before Ways and Means. All those in favor of the Lanning Amendment, aye.
Aye.
And all opposed?
No.
Amendment is adopted. Other amendments? Are there other amendments to Housebound 946? There is not. I would like to call for more public testimony before we vote and other comments from committee members. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to testify either for or against House File 946? Former tax chair, Representative Frankie, welcome to the tax committee. And Representative Rukavina, did you want to let him up there?
I'm sure you're being way too violent.
Representative Prinke, welcome to the committee.
Former, yeah, thank you.
Former Representative Prinke.
Once a rep, always a rep.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members. I don't think it should come as any surprise that the Taxpayers League would stand in opposition to this bill. But let me just point out what I think is the most egregious part of this legislation, and that is that we're talking about raising hundreds of millions of dollars on Minnesotans that can least afford it with gas tax increase, wheelage tax, registration tax, let alone the business taxes, of course, which are regressive as well as the gas tax, wheelage tax, and license registration taxes. But the real fraud that's being committed by this bill is that there is no promise that it is going to do one single iota to reduce congestion in the metropolitan area. When you take the money that is going to be expended in rural Minnesota, when you take the money that's going to be expended on transit, and the other costs of operation at the Department of Transportation, the cost of bonds and the interest rates, the fraud that's being perpetrated on the citizens of the metropolitan area is they're going to be able to, they're going to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in more taxes. And I don't think that Representative Leader is ready to tell the people of Minnesota how much this is actually going to reduce congestion in the metropolitan area. There's been inferences made that it's going to reduce congestion, but there's absolutely nothing here that guarantees that there's going to be any outcome, positive outcome, with regard to reduction in congestion in the metropolitan area with these hundreds of millions of dollars of tax increases. The other part that I think is objectionable is the fact that we would talk about, and you're right, Chairman Chesky, when you said that we all know local options, sales taxes, and the debates we've had over the years, and it has been the position of this committee for many, many years that there was always a referendum on local option sales taxes and not to allow the people in the metropolitan area to vote on the sales tax increase that they would be subject to with this legislation is unconscionable for this group. Representative Earhart earlier listed all of the communities around the country which had the local option sales taxes which to fund transit. My understanding in most of those communities is that was done with referendum. So as I said, if for no other reason, you should at least include a referendum for the local option sales tax in the metropolitan area. So again, members, where is the benefit to the taxpayers who are going to be asked to pay hundreds of millions of dollars or more? Where is the actual concrete being poured? Where is the reduction in congestion? Where is the benefit to those businesses which are going to have to pay those additional taxes? Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions for former Representative Prinke or Representative Leader? Would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to just go the opposite. I'd like to say, where can they promise or say the fraud is if we don't do something? How much is congestion going to increase? How much is it going to cost business? For certain, we've had businesses testify, but they don't keep an inventory. They keep a rolling inventory. And every time they sit on inventory, it's costing money. We've never seen those figures. The same way we can't say how much is going to be reduced. We've got a better idea it's going to be reduced, but we don't know how much worse it's going to get, especially when you see the population increase and what's happening in the metro area. I could comment further, but I think that's kind of just a little bit that would respond to the fact that we can't promise that it's going to release or reduce congestion. We certainly can promise if we don't pass some funding, we're going to see an increase in congestion, and I think you agree on that.
Thank you for that. Other questions or comments, former Representative Prinke or Representative Rukavina?
Well, I just have a comment, and it's, you know, I really miss the guy, but I'm much rather see him as the chair of the Taxpayers League than the chair of the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Representative.
Other comments, questions, other public testimony, either for or against House File 946. not, all those in favor, you
Representative. I'm going to ask for roll call, and I would just note, Representative Broad just got pulled out for a vote in room 200. I know she wants to vote on the bill. She's here. Okay. Madam Chair asked for roll call.
Representative Cole has asked for a roll call, and this is that time of the year, members, where we are not trying to catch people from missing a vote. They are actually sitting in other committees taking important votes there as well. Here's another member coming in. Is there further discussion? Hoping more members can make it in. If not, I'm going to ask the clerk to take the roll.
Glenn Chesky?
This is the landing amendment? No, this is the final thing.
What time is it?
On the bill, yes.
Atkins? Broad?
No.
Carlson?
Aye.
Dabney?
Aye.
De La Forest? Demmer?
No.
Till?
Yes.
Earhart?
Yes.
What? Hillstrom?
Yes.
Narro?
Yes.
Coonan?
Yes.
Cole?
No.
Lanning?
No.
Lesh? Liebling? Marquardt?
Yes.
Mullery? Paulson? Rukavina?
Yes.
Simpson?
No.
Solver?
Yes.
Tal?
Yeah.
Tilbury? Wolfsbarger?
Yes.
Sellers?
No.
Atkins? De La Forest? Lesh?
Yes.
Liebling?
Yes.
Mullery? Paulson? Tilbury?
And as members, if anyone's still running in, I haven't announced the roll yet, but I do have to say, I remember the time Representative Rukavina pretended to be Representative Yarrows, who was not in the room and voted for him. with and I think he voted in Polish, maybe. I'm not sure, or what language he was saying into the microphone. Yeah. No. And we all looked around and we thought, how did Representative Yarrows vote without being here? It was Representative Rukavina Poner. Like, we now have more members in the room. I'm not sure who just came in. There was another person who walked in on this side. Nope. If not, we're going to close the roll here then. And members, there are 14 ayes, 6 noes, and the bill is passed and sent off to Ways and Means. We will not be meeting tomorrow. We are not be meeting tomorrow, but I would like a motion from Representative Zellers to approve the minutes. All those in favor of the minutes?
Madam.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are.
Madam Chair,
yes.
What does Friday look like?
So far, we're not meeting. Property taxes will be meeting on Friday.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
But we're looking at the session on Saturday, so we'll all be here. Thank you, members. We are adjourned.